especially when we get into some of those types of markets like you're talking about, Destin, Hilton Head. They're beach markets. They've got the single family type homes, but they also have a lot of condos that are right on the beach. And there's drawbacks or trade-offs for each of them, right? The condos typically have, like you said, they can be a dime a dozen, but their proximity is usually great, right? The amenities are usually awesome. You know, you've got a lot of competition that basically has the exact same offering.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and I'm really excited about our conversation today with Mr. Steve Smale. Steve, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Hey, Sean, how are you? Welcome.
Good, buddy. I'm excited about this conversation. You know, those of you that are listening to our podcast on a regular basis, my Friday episodes, as much as possible, we bring on investors that are in the short-term rental game. We want to talk about where what your background is, what your journey into short-term rentals has been, how it's been, the good, the bad, the ugly, because we want people walking into this game with their eyes wide open. So, Steve, I'm always very appreciative of people like you that are willing to come on and talk about that. Before we hit record, you said, hey, listen, we can talk about anything and everything. I'm an open book, and I always appreciate that, and I know our listeners do as well. So thanks so much for joining us. The first place I always like to start is, let's start with the background. Let's start with what your background is, what got you interested in real estate. Have you invested in other asset classes before diving into the short-term rental game? And then we'll go from there.
Yeah, no problem. And thanks for having me. So quick version of it would be I was a corporate executive for a long time. I've invested in real estate in general for over 20 years. On the short-term side, our first property was 2013. And then we joined Vodacy in September of 22. Our first property that we had was over in Hilton Head, South Carolina. We self-managed that. My wife managed that. When I sold some of our other businesses and kind of went full-time left corporate America, went full-time into the business world, she went back to work as a teacher. So I lost her in that process. And that's kind of how I found you guys. As I was out there, I realized that I'm a very good CEO, so to speak, but I need help day-to-day on things. And although I had been in, you know, short-term rentals for a while, I still wanted to seek out who I thought was the best in the industry to help me on my journey as we began our next purchase.
And tell us a little bit about that purchase, how you selected your market. You know, we're always big on buying assets in markets that we would love to enjoy. Was that the route that you guys took, or was it more of, hey, we're in this for the investment game, or a little of both?
Yeah, so I live in Atlanta, Georgia, just south of it. So Hilton Head's about four and a half hours. We looked at that area. We sold in 21. Numbers went through the roof. So I wanted to open up and kind of be open to several other markets. A lot of people from the Atlanta, Nashville area go down to Destin. I'd never been down there. So we went down in October of 22 and we fell in love with the water, number one. For us, more of a vacation than a place to live for us. That's a whole different topic. But we just kind of fell in love with it. I started looking at the real estate, started analyzing some deals. I knew you were down there. I knew you had some contacts with property management, things like that, that might shorten my learning curve a little bit. So I did my diligence and said, lined up our property goals. One of our property goals, the main one I stuck to, was you must see water from the door of the property. Can't be a bathtub or a pool. It's got to be ocean. So we stuck to that. We're directly across the street from the ocean, like a 3-minute walk. We didn't want to get into a huge unit. So we got a small little 1-bedroom condo, and we basically followed the process and gutted it, remodeled it as much as we could, and followed a lot of the steps in the course on purpose, just to make sure that we had a template to use moving forward.
Nice. Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about, like, kind of the, you know, the must-haves in when we're in that acquisition phase. I think it's really important, right? And when I underwrite an area and I look at what it takes to be, you know, operate toward the top of the market, proximity to certain things, like in your case, the beach, views of the ocean, those types of things make a difference on the revenue that you're able to generate. And it's interesting because as you're going through that, you know, the buying stage, you're going to see other properties that don't have that, right? And so when you go into a market like the Destin market and you say, hey, one of our non-negotiables is I must be able to see the water, you know, from the front door. I want to be able to have a view of the ocean from our front door. And that's important, right? Because there was probably a lot of opportunities, a lot of properties that you looked at looked probably pretty good on the surface, but they might not have checked that box for you. And every market has their different boxes. Not that you have to have that view in Destin of the ocean, but it was something that you knew was going to help you operate ultimately toward the top of that market versus maybe the middle to the bottom of the market.
For us, as we looked at the property, we wanted to we wanted to make sure that we were proud of what we got to go visit ourselves too. So in you know, our family dynamic has changed a little bit. I've got a 17-year-old son, so he pretty much does his own thing now. So it's more of a spot where I was thinking me and my wife would sneak away here and there a weekend. And that's the type of unit that we've got. You know, again, like you said, the different areas, you know, you can make a, you know, my property goals may be different than other people's goals. I wanted to make sure that number one, you know, I hear a lot of times like, hey, we should wait. Maybe the market should go down or it's better. It's too high. I wanted to be in the game. I wanted to get in the game, learn my resources, you know, take some hard knocks if I needed to here and there so that I was able to dive into that next property. This property for us, we anticipate holding it for a while. And you know, our property goals have changed in probably the last 12 months. Where our next one is going to be a larger one. So we've just, that's been influenced by, you know, just our own personal goals, but also the trip that, that we had down to Orlando and got to see the Disney property down there. That's what I refer to it as. And just to see how some of those properties can really, really, you know, if you follow the process, you can really set them apart.
And it's great to talk about that as we, you know, as we progress in anything and as, and especially in our investment journey and we're building these portfolios, sometimes our property goals do change a little bit. We have one thing in mind when we start and that's great. And then that next property might be a little bit different. The next one is probably going to be a little bit different because we learn along the way. We look at different opportunities differently along the way. Our financial situations sometimes change along the way. They all help us make those next buying decisions. And so on this first, well, it's really not your first one, but let's talk about, you know, the first one following this process and that we're talking about after we sold Hilton Head. With the Destin property, talk us through, like you said, you know, there's a lot of people that were like, maybe you should wait, right? Interest rates were rising when you were buying. And there was, you know, everybody, the market was kind of shifting around and kind of figuring out where it was going to land on the short-term rental side. Destin's a major market. There's a lot of competition down there. So you really had to dial in a lot of things and learn a lot of things in a market that was, you know, that was very, very popular. There was a lot of competition. You know, it's not like you're the only game in town when it comes to a one bedroom condo with ocean views even.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we started our, you know, we closed on our property in mid-January. I had everything lined up. We did a quick remodel refresh, I would call it. There was paint, some other things that were done there. We did quite a bit of, we used Mike Whitfield on the design services, which was phenomenal. I would never do a property without using them, to be honest with you. So next property I may, if it's a larger one, he may come out and do it for me, so to speak. Yeah, we used that. And then by Super Bowl weekend, basically a couple trips down, me and my wife had set everything up and then we were ready to go. And then we were right in the kind of the prime season of March. And we had a really good year last year. A lot of it was with some direct bookings and things like that. But towards the middle of the summer, I started setting up that third quarter to really go back in and do almost another refresh that we didn't have to rush as much with. So I went with, I had Brian and Katie with O2O help me through the process there. And we went back in and redid our photos. And the difference from our purchase photos to our original photos that I took to our photos they took is night and day difference. I mean, I truly feel we have some digital assets with the property now. It helps people. They don't ask many questions about the property. They know what it looks like. We're pretty good bookings quickly off of it. So that process for us was pretty much went through all last year, if that makes sense. And then, you know, and where I'm at now, you know, direct bookings, the Profit Maximizer site, I've pretty much done all the follow. I followed the process that you laid out and pretty much to the T, and it's been working for us. And it's allowed me to have what I would call a passive asset and really just have it in the background. I'm able to focus my day to day on another business that you're aware I've started. So that business is intended to generate capital, and that capital is intended to go back into the short-term rental market or another purchase of real estate for us down the road here.
You know, just so that those are the people that are listening, we kind of, you know, you and I know the process we're talking about. We know that we talk about that acquisition phase and then the process you're talking about. And I always say it's a 12 to 18 month process to get everything set up, everything launched, get all the marketing assets, really start to maximize on the marketing side with direct bookings and all those different things. And then that this asset becomes a lot more passive, right? But it takes a little bit of time and work and effort in the first place. And by doing all that, you know, there's a lot of people with one bedroom condos in Destin in 2023 that didn't do that. You said you had a really good year, right? And I hear all the time, well, market's too saturated to compete down here anymore. And it's like, no, we know people who actually are operating and doing really well with their properties, and not by accident, by being very intentional about the process, about the setup, you know, the design, and creating a unique experience, ultimately getting the right marketing assets. It's interesting that, and we should talk a little bit about direct bookings, because I'm a big believer in direct bookings to really help kind of add fuel to the fire to a property and help us start to maximize book, pay some bills, all those different things. But direct bookings are not a set it and forget it. Like, here's my website, go book my property, right? You do a lot of follow-up with direct bookings. And if you don't, those direct bookings fall off.
I can give you a great example. We did about 12 direct bookings last year for close to $15,000 in revenue. This year, I've got about two for about $2,000. The difference is I'm not actively engaged in the direct bookings anymore. I'm just kind of grabbing the database. I'll check here and there. I'll fire them a quick note. Last year, I was heavily involved. I would, if I got five, you know, inquiries that day, I was involved in every one of them to an extent and following up. And I built out some templates and some things that are automated to go back to people. But my direct involvement in that helped me, I would say, take care of the break even or above mark for the first year of the property. Where I could help this year again would be really just diving in there. Fortunately, I don't really have to right now. We're in a busy season. I knew what our January, February was going to be from a little bit of a lower end. And I was fine with not being as engaged in that. That was a decision that I made. And then, you know, as we head into, the summer season, you know, our main target this year was raising our average daily rate, which we've done a really good job at this year. So we're getting less wear and tear on the property, higher average daily rate. You know, we're above break even or above where we were last year, if that makes sense. So I anticipate the summer will outpace it. Although I have seen, you know, occupancy from a couple of years ago, obviously has dropped off, but I would say it's back to the normal age, the stage right now that I did a lot of the underwriting off of. I didn't underwrite with a 80% occupancy rate. I underwrite with more of a 60% just to be safe and conservative as we went into it. Yeah, those direct bookings and those involvements are definitely, you know, that I would say that was the difference between, you know, having to come out of pocket and for the property and not.
It does make a big difference, right? When you're able to generate $12,000 in direct bookings. And the big misconception, because direct bookings and doing all that, it's kind of a buzzword and a hot topic out there in the short-term rental world. And I think there's a lot of misleading information out, or, you know, that you can just have a pretty website and people are going to book. That's not the case. We've never seen that be the case. I've never actually seen anybody or talked to anybody. And we're in this game, and I feel like we've got a pretty good finger on the pulse of what happens in this world. And I've never talked to anybody that does really well with direct bookings with just a pretty website. No matter what anybody wants to tell you, it just doesn't happen. But you can get a really good return on your investment and your return on, you know, your time if you are willing to get a little bit involved. And what happens is, like you said, year one, that was the difference between losing money or breaking even on that property. And then going into year two with the right marketing assets, with the goal of raising our average nightly rate, and being able to say, okay, now this property is going to start to become a little more self-sufficient, right? I don't need to go and get that extra boost from direct bookings. Although you do, I'm a big believer that you always want to run down that road.
Yeah.
How aggressive you are with it is a different story depending on your stage in the game. But, you know, because there's times where you're like, man, it's doing pretty well on its own right now. I don't really have a lot of time to actually sell. I don't have a lot of nights to sell. And so getting involved and spending a lot of money on direct booking, advertising, everything else might not make sense.
I've got two really, really good ads that are out there running. I'm probably at $5 or $6 on the one, and probably the same thing on the other. So maybe $8 to $10 a day, depending on where they're at. They just run. I just keep them running. They've got 200 plus likes on Facebook, and, you know, comments and crazy stuff. And they just seem to tend to generate the people coming in. You know, I've got over 2,700 people in that database, where I have been pretty consistent on sending out the quarterly newsletters. I do quarterly. If you didn't notice there, I'm not monthly right now. Quarterly I can handle and check the box and get through it right now. So again, if you want to be a little bit more aggressive with that, you know, with a database of 2,700 people, you can do that. Last year there was multiple times where I hit the send button and within a couple of hours I had bookings. You know, I would send out a special rate or something like that and get some bookings. So, you know, again, it's part of the process. Again, I would use the design. I would use the photos correctly. I would use the website. You gotta have a bunch of lines out in the water to make sure your things are going to work for you.
And let's talk a little bit about the strategy you alluded to this year of saying, hey, listen, we want to push our occupancy down a little bit, but our nightly rate up. So our overall revenue is at or above where we were last year, but our wear and tear on our property is significantly less. That's a concept that a lot of people, I feel like, it's a little bit foreign to. The reason is so many people talk about high occupancy. Oh, I'll show you how to get 80, 90% occupancy. And I feel like that's not exactly what you want to do, right? Our goal in any investment should be, how much money are we putting in our pocket? Well, we put money in our pocket a number of different ways. Obviously, top line revenue, right? But there's other ways that we put money in our pocket, and less maintenance, less things that we have to go fix. The lower your occupancy is, the more you're going to keep in your pocket from maintenance, repairs, and all those different things, and wear and tear on the property. And so when you mention, hey, our goal this year is this, and that is typically our goal with almost every property we have in year two. And so is we're saying, okay, now what we want to do, we had a good launch, we got a lot of momentum, we got some people through, we're getting all these reviews, got some happy customers. We're going to start to get repeat customers. Now I want to start to raise that rate, because there's an inverse effect of rates and occupancy, right? They're inversely related. One goes up, the other one goes down. If price goes down, typically your occupancy goes up. So you can really drop your price really low and get higher occupancy. But the overall, it's this balance between what is that perfect balance between rates and occupancy to give us the most amount of money in our pocket? Because at the end of the day, that's the goal. You know, you understand that concept and you're saying, hey, that's our goal this year. And we feel like we're on pace or above what we're going to be next year or from last year, but lower occupancy, less wear and tear, which ultimately puts more money in your pocket. And I don't think that people think about that as often, because we're always chasing the occupancy, that top line revenue. And sometimes it's a little easier to get that top line revenue by doing this strategy of raising your rates and having lower occupancy.
Yeah, I think for me, it's, you know, when you make those personal visits, I've learned over the years that when if I show up to my property for the first time in several months and my wife is with me, that was a very bad idea to do that. So I've learned to maybe drop her off somewhere or go check the property first before we get there. Maybe move some things, put some things back in, and take a deep breath, because you do get a little emotionally attached sometimes. What your property looks like when you left it the last time you stayed there, because you know you take care of it like an owner, then you show back up and things are in different spots, or there's some scratches on the walls, or some things that you photographed are not there, stuff's missing. That happens at times. You really can't go through a major season where you got people in and out, in my opinion, down in Destin, you know, and not have some sand and some dirt on the carpets and things like that. So you got to make sure you refresh it. So I've kept my eyes on some of these down days. I'm only 4.5 hours away, so I'm getting close to sneaking back down. Again, we were just down there for spring break, but, you know, getting close to sneaking back down there on some of these days just to continue to maintain what that property looks like so that it looks like what it's in the photos. Things are in the right spot. You know, and it matches that customer experience for us.
There is one thing that can make or break your success with short-term rentals, and that's your ability to provide your guests with an amazing night's rest. We're taking all of the guesswork out of selecting the perfect mattress system. Personally, I have these custom mattresses in every one of my short-term rentals. We love them so much that we even got them in our own personal homes here in Utah. So visit VodiceySleepSystem.com and use the promo code PODCAST. It's all caps at checkout to get 55% off. It's meeting expectations, right? Right. When you've got this photo shoot that protects, you know, that portrays this property a particular way, we want to make sure we're meeting those expectations. And it's such a good point that you've got to have either yourself, the right management partners, or both to make sure that, hey, these properties need to be refreshed at times. And a lot of times it's just a good deep cleaning and you know, maybe some touch-up paint on the wall. That is what that's what this game entails. To make sure that those properties, when somebody walks through that door, the expectation is met from what they saw in the picture. That keeps 5-star reviews coming in. You know, it keeps your guests happy. They want to come back because they know you're a host that takes it serious. And I appreciate you bringing that part of it up, because that is something that a lot of people overlook. They're like, well, you know, I don't have to worry about that anymore, especially even when you have a property manager. You could have a really good property manager and you still need to go down there and check on that property occasionally and make sure that everything's up to speed and the way that you want it, you know, set up so that that guest expectation is met based on those photos. I've seen your photos, right? You've taken it to the top level on the photo shoots. Like you said, you started off with your own photos, professional photos, and then we went to that next level of lifestyle photos. When we do that, you know, it's exactly, you know, the lifestyle photos are not anything. They're not Photoshop photos. They're not like filtered on photos. They're exactly what that property should look like every time. And if it doesn't, because it's not getting set up every time, because there's a little wear and tear and we're not being on, staying on top of it, that's going to detract from that guest experience.
And like, just as an example, some of the colors that we have that are more of that beachy colors, they're lighter. And if you've got people walking in and out of the, off the patio, we got a big L-shaped patio and they're in their bare feet and they come in and they wipe it on that carpet. Who wants to show up on a, you know, a dark looking carpet, you know? So we got to make sure property manager takes care of that most of the time for me too. But, yeah. I also have a backup of some supplies I take with me, whether it's shower curtains or some other things when I go to the property. If I have to pull one down and switch it out, I'll do it. I don't mind doing that. It's all about making that property, you know, continue to stay where it's at.
And so as we talk about kind of the, you know, as you start to, you said, you know, some of your property goals have changed a little bit. You know, you've got another business you started and the goal for that is to start to stack some cash to jump into the next investments. What are some of the goals that you're, you know, that you're moving forward towards? Like, is there different markets, different size? You alluded to maybe a bigger property.
I think I would really kind of like to get back into that Hilton Head market, only because I do believe that's where we will end up long-term from a retirement aspect. So if I would have kind of followed what I thought I would have done, so I sold in 21, if I would have bought in 21, I would have been in a much better situation. So we're really looking more at a house, a standalone property that's got its own unique experience. I love our condo, but condos can be dime a dozen at times, right? You just jump on. Sometimes people are looking for the cheapest one. And if it's not yours, even though it's great, they might move on. But homes can be pretty unique. So if you set those up properly, you can still generate some stuff. The other thing is my property goals switched. Another reason they switched, so that would be location, but another reason they switched, my son's a junior. We're not 100% sure we'll be in Atlanta for the future. But even if we are, you know, down the road where these one or two bedroom condos worked for us, you know, multi-generational stuff. I did a lot of vacations with my wife and her family and my family when we were growing up. And I think that same concept, my son gets married, has kids. I want to be able to bring those children to that multi-generational type property. We can't do that in a small condo. We would be paying our 10 grand to people like you to rent it for the week, you know? So yeah. I'd rather keep my 10 grand and go stay in my own property. Right. So I think that's where we're looking. Then again, spring break down in Destin, we ended up in a 4-bedroom penthouse directly on the water. That was a condo. And my wife fell in love with that complex too. So,
right.
You never know where I'll be in the next 12 to 18 months, but it'll probably be either Destin or Hilton Head if my next investment.
And a little bit bigger where we can, you know, ultimately as the family grows, everybody can hang out.
Yeah, I think it's a little bigger. And with the understanding of they're not making any more of these houses unless you're over in some other areas. But there's just not a lot of a space in those two areas that I like, where they're building new properties, you know, or there's a bunch of land for sale. So it's gotta be something that's either existing, that's remodeled or fixed up as we go.
Awesome. And I love it. And I think that it's, you know, the natural conversation we all have in our heads of, especially when we get into some of those types of markets, like you're talking about Destin, Hilton Head, they're beach markets. They've got the single family type homes, but they also have a lot of condos that are right on the beach. And there's drawbacks or trade-offs for each of them, right? The condos typically have, like you said, they can be a dime a dozen sometimes, but their proximity is usually great, right? The amenities are usually awesome. But there's a lot of, you know, you've got a lot of competition that basically has the exact same offering, right? So it's a little bit harder sometimes to distinguish single family homes. You can make them a little bit more unique. You can make a little bit, you know, you've got a little bit more privacy at times. You maybe don't have some of the amenities that those big resort type style condos have, but you've got, you know, there's other things that you have with the privacy and sometimes proximity as well. I mean, there's beachfront houses too, but they get pretty expensive pretty quick. Yeah. So it's a natural conversation, especially as you start to go larger, you know, because there will be the penthouse condos that are going to be available, and they're going to be the ones that are the, you know, there's 4 or 5 bedroom condos available. And they are fairly unique in their own right, because there's not a lot of
them. It was just a little eye opening in that experience for us, because we were, you know, it was direct oceanfront. It was direct. It checked, you know, even though it was a condo, it checked some of the similar boxes that we thought a single family home would have done for us. So it kind of opened our eyes a little bit on both of them.
Well, listen, I always, at the end of these conversations, I always like to wrap up with the lessons learned. You know, what are some of the things that you would love to have known, you know, and share with your younger self? If your son was getting into this game, you're like, hey, I've been doing this for a minute. Here's some of the lessons learned. Here's what I would like to do to help those people that are listening walk into this game with their eyes wide open. Is there anything that comes to mind there?
I would just say the process itself. I'm a big believer in having a blueprint out there, a proven model or system that's been used, and nothing's ever perfect, but it's going to give you guidelines. It's going to give you benchmarks to be able to walk within, to learn the business kind of from A to Z. And then you're really never going to know it from A to Z until you get in there and do it and experience it on your own properties, or you're doing your own quotes, or you're dealing with your own marketing and stuff like that. But really having that guidelines in place and that support. If you remember, I invested in my first short-term rental in 2013. I came to you guys in 22. I had been doing it 9 years already. And yeah. I still said, you know what? I need a model. I need someone that's out there cutting edge, that's thinking besides me, giving me resources and things. I mean, as small as StayFi, I would have never found that. You know what I mean? I just wouldn't have been looking at just things that come from being involved in a community, being involved in having that blueprint and that stuff going, having others that have went before you and are following that, having successes and having challenges too. It's not always, you know, it's not always glass half full or half empty. So there is some challenges in the process for everybody. I wish everybody well during the setup phase, because it's not a fun process. So it's probably the most grueling 60 to 90 days process, depending on what you're getting yourself into. But after that, it gets better. And then you get into that launch phase and you kind of get into that property that's matured, where I feel ours is, I don't want to say set it and forget it, because I am engaging in it a little more now than I have. But it's at that point where it's truly passive. I don't spend, you know, more than 3 hours a week looking at that thing. And when I do, it's high level stuff. Hey, did anything break? Did anything do this? Do I need to invest more money? How's the marketing look? How's the database look? Okay, great. How's occupancy compared to other stuff? I just looked at our quarterly numbers versus last year, year over year. I looked at our bookings, our nights booked, you know, our average daily rate. So I stayed engaged in some of that stuff. So, but I wouldn't have done a lot of that if I didn't join with you guys. I even though I run it like a business, I probably wouldn't have ran it like a business. Right. So,
yeah. And I appreciate that. You know, that's a very common theme right now with the people that I'm talking to that have been in the game. And like you, you know, you were in the game for, you know, many, many years before you found us. And it's not that everything we have is, you know, is gospel, but there is something to be said about having coaches, mentors, a process, a blueprint to follow. But even beyond that is the community, right? There's a lot of collective experience when you're around a lot of people following the same blueprint. And that is invaluable at times. And it's not invaluable during the good times. It's invaluable during the hiccups and the bad times. And when you're in the middle of the setup and you're like, holy crap, can I actually get through this? And you've got hundreds of people saying, yes, you're fine.
Yeah.
It's a short-lived deal. It's hard, but we're going to get through it, right? And so being able to slay those dragons, you know, the biggest heroes slay the biggest dragons. Mm-hmm. And when you've got a whole bunch of heroes around you saying you can get that dragon, right? And then you become one of those heroes. I love the aspect of not only, you know, coaching, mentoring, you know, the advice saying let's follow a blueprint, but, you know, surround yourself with other people doing it and doing it at a high level, because all of a sudden you become, you know, everybody raises the bar for everybody else, and there's power in proximity. And I love that aspect of what we're doing and the collective experience in there, not for the good times, but for when things are tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome, man. Well, listen, Steve, we're going to wrap up. I really, really appreciate these conversations. I appreciate you being able and willing to get on, have these conversations. I know so many people listen to our podcast and they love these types of conversations. We hear it all the time. And so I appreciate your time today and appreciate you joining us on the Vacation Rental Revolution, my man.
Shauna, thank you very much. Appreciate being here. Thanks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And those of you listening, we know how valuable your time is as well. And we always appreciate you spending it with us. You guys know at the end of every episode, I ask you two favors. The first one is, if you know somebody else that would love to walk into this game with their eyes wide open and be a part of these conversations, share the show. Those things really do help us. We don't run ads and sponsorships on the show. And so the only way we grow the show is for you guys to share it. And so we really appreciate that. If you would do it, it helps us. If you have more than 30 seconds, we'd love you to like it, review it, give us a thumbs up on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And the final and most important thing that I ask you at the end of every episode is go pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.